now for the compelling puzzle of our time. How did the seemingly most unfamiliar of foods, that's raw fish and rice rolled up in seaweed, end up in the convenience store next to the donuts? And how come it sells just as fast? So how did sushi, of all things, become so mainstream? And what happened to the old revered ways of making it? Well, Trevor Corson has spent years studying the hows, the whys, and the wheres of sushi. He's the author of The Story of Sushi. Chef Patty Hinnage recently talked with Trevor.
Trevor, so nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
The first thing that I want to ask you, you can get a tray of sushi in a gas station these days just as you would a box of donuts. Why has sushi gone mainstream? I mean, so mainstream.
Well, this is the hilarious mystery of how this insanely exotic meal of raw fish has become like as common as McDonald's in the U.S. It's really like an all-American meal now. It just seems to have happened with no one noticing. And part of it is, I think, that starting even in the late 70s, people's awareness of the healthfulness of the food they were eating became more pronounced. And so fish and grains were even recommended in 1977. Mm-hmm. And that was about the same time sushi entered into our American palate. But the sad thing is that like our sushi has become this mix of stuff where we put in, spicy chili pepper and mayonnaise and all this other things that prevent you actually from tasting the fish, and all the extra wasabi and everything. So it's a bit ironic and a bit of a shame that we're eating so much fish, and yet we're not really paying any attention anymore to the taste of the fish. It's more about that sort of melt-in-your-mouth succulence and all the sauces and everything. So I encourage people to try more traditional sushi just so they can taste the fish again.
Absolutely. And does it matter, in your view, who is making the sushi? I mean, I just see most of the times Latins, mostly Mexicans, who I can chat with when they're giving me sushi at sushi bars. Does ethnicity matter or authenticity?
Actually, there was a survey I looked at in the course of researching my book that revealed that the percentage of Latino workers in sushi restaurants was climbing dramatically, and so they're really a strong presence. Certainly sushi that we're eating now today actually has been changed in a somewhat Latin direction because of the influence of the chef Nobu Matsuhisa, who has this worldwide restaurant chain now. And he started mixing in types of food preparation he had seen in Peru, where he used to work. But as far as the ethnicities of the chef is concerned, it's ironic, but I've found that sometimes a Japanese chef won't necessarily make the effort to try to communicate what's the authentic traditions of the sushi cuisine to American customers, because they kind of figure, we're Americans, we're not going to get it. Whereas I've met some wonderful sushi chefs of varying ethnicities in the United States, including Caucasian, Latino, and even one of my favorite sushi chefs is an African-American woman in Memphis, and her name is Marissa Baggett. All of these chefs I'm talking about have really made this tradition their own, and they are so excited to share the authentic traditions that they've mastered with their customers. So in a way, you can often get a more authentic experience from one of those chefs who really is teaching you about where sushi came from as they serve you.
Right. Speaking of women, I haven't seen many sushi chefs that are women behind the counter.
Yeah, this is goes back to the kind of patriarchy that is so persistent in Japanese society, and it's really hard for women to enter the sushi profession in Japan. And there are all these ridiculously stupid reasons that are given for it, like their hands are too hot and they're going to cook the fish or something.
Women's hands are colder, right?
Yeah.
At least mine are cold.
I found a scientific study that proved that it's actually men's hands are warm. So it's very challenging for them, but I think they have a better chance outside Japan right now than they do in Japan. But that may change. Let's hope so.
Trevor, I'm one of those people that has never mastered chopsticks, just don't have the patience. I always eat sushi with my fingers. What's the etiquette?
Oh, well, you are so much in luck, because the best way, I think, to eat sushi is with your fingers. And there's actually a very specific reason for that. When you sit at the sushi bar and a chef makes you what's called a nigiri, that's the little finger of rice with a slice of something on top, the traditional form, they're meant to be actually quite loose. not packed too tightly. And they fall apart in your mouth that way. So the chef is actually, they go through these years of training to achieve the perfect amount of pressure with their fingers when they squeeze it. So just enough so the perimeter of the rice grains sticks together, but the inside of the rice pack is still kind of loose and airy. And you want that to be loose and airy. So when you put it in your mouth, the rice grains fall apart and mingle with the fish on your tongue. And most sushi diners in the U.S. have never experienced a properly made nigiri because we all think we're supposed to use chopsticks, mm-hmm. and so the chefs are all packing the sushi much too tightly so they won't fall apart when we try to pick it up with chopsticks.
And what are we supposed to do with that wasabi? Are we supposed to mix it with the soy sauce, use it whenever we feel like it?
Well, here's the cruel truth, which is we're always served extra wasabi on the side. And even at lower-end sushi restaurants in Japan, this is the case. But it's not supposed to be there. And I have, after I've gotten to know sushi chefs and chatting with them in Japanese and everything, they finally kind of loosen up and tell me the truth, which is that when they see us mixing wasabi into our soy sauce, extra wasabi, they mm-hmm. stop giving us their best fish because we're not going to be able to taste the difference with all the spiciness in there. They're going to save the best fish for somebody else. And a good sushi chef is actually putting a little bit of wasabi into the sushi, piece of sushi, when he makes it. And he's actually calibrating the amount of wasabi to that particular fish. And there shouldn't be any more or any less. And any more is usually going to overwhelm the very delicate flavors of some of these fish. So my recommendation is tell the chef, sit at the bar, tell mm-hmm. the chef that you're not going to add extra wasabi. Could he please season the sushi for you the way he wants to, and you'll just eat it like that. And that can include even a lot of chefs. A good chef will paint a little sheen of sauce with a brush across the top of the piece of sushi and maybe a little garnish and give it to you. You don't have to do anything else to it. That's the ideal way to eat sushi. Just put it right in your mouth.
Trevor, and that was my last question. I've seen sushi chefs brush that magic sauce on top of the sushi. What is in that sauce?
Yeah, here's another thing we don't know, that straight soy sauce is really too strong of a flavor for most of the delicate fish in mm-hmm. sushi. And so any sushi chef who's good is making their own house brew sauce. It's called nikiri, N-I-K-I-R-I. And this is a proprietary mix of soy sauce, but also a few other things, usually some dashi broth, which is made from simmered kelp and fish flakes, maybe some sake, maybe a secret ingredient. It calms down the soy sauce and makes it less intense, less salty, and more complex. And that's actually a much better match. And you only need a little bit of it. And if you notice, some chefs cut little notches or nicks in the top of the fish before they put it on the rice. And that's actually another calibration of flavor. They're doing that to hold more or less sauce on top of the nigiri before they hand it to you.
Wow. Truly an art form. Trevor, the next time I see you, I hope you will be eating sushi.
I hope so, too. And then after that, a tour of Mexico.
Perfect. We're on. Thank you so much, Trevor. It's been a pleasure.
Great talking with you, Patty.
Trevor Corson is an occasional sushi concierge and author of The Story of Sushi. Patty Hinnich is author of Patty's Mexican Table. Now, for a prelude to your sushi, try Shiso Crab Cocktail from Chef Jerry Traunfeld. And it's on the website, splendidtable.org.